This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. An American aid worker was shot and wounded in Sudan's Darfur region yesterday. She was traveling in a convoy that came under attack from unknown gunmen. Just last week, the United Nations warned that Arab militias had threatened to attack humanitarian convoys there. The militias, known as Janjaweed, are accused of raping and killing civilians and looting and burning villages in the region for more than 2 years. Tens of thousands of people have died in the violence. The UN says another 180,000 have died from disease and starvation. Aid workers and journalists have been highly restricted in their movements in Darfur, but one former U.S. Marine captain, Brian Steidel, was able to move freely as an American military advisor to the African Union. In his 6 months there, he witnessed many atrocities.
On a daily basis, we would conduct patrols to monitor the ceasefire, any violations of the ceasefire agreement. We saw everything from burned villages to scores of people who had been killed, interviews with women who had been raped. IDP camps grow on a daily basis from the people that were displaced as a result of the burnings.
IDP,
internally displaced persons.
To help us get a hold of this, can you tell us one incident that would sum up for us what's happening there?
Yes. In December, the government of Sudan was on a mission to clear a road from Niala, where I was based, to Khartoum, which is several hundred kilometers away. And they had gone through a series of villages, attacking the villages, and because they received resistance from the people in the villages, killing them, raping women if they could find them, and burning the villages down. The village I remember specifically, Labado, a village of around 20,000 people. I was standing on the edge of it with a Sudanese general, and there was a solid stream of Janjaweed militia who fight alongside the government of Sudan. There were scores and scores of them. They were going into the village one way with empty pack animals, coming back the other way with them filled with loot, and the process burning all the huts down, and there was a lot of shooting in the village. We were not able to go into the village because the governor of Sudan official told us that it was not secure and that we might be shot if we continued forward. We asked him what his mission was, and he said his mission was to protect the civilians and open the road for commercial traffic. So I asked him why he didn't stop what was going on, and he said, "They're not my people. I don't have control over them."
And the Janjaweed, they're militia groups.
Yes, they are, trained and armed by the government.
The government has denied constantly that it has any involvement in the Janjaweed training or arming. What was it that you saw that makes you so sure that, in fact, the government's involved?
The fact that they fight side by side, talking to the members of the Janjaweed and seeing attacks on villages that when they're in the village, there's no distinguishing one from the other. The majority of the time, the Janjaweed are wearing uniforms, ride in military trucks, they attack the villages. The difference is when the attack is done, they go back to being the Arab nomads and the government forces go back to their base. That's the only difference.
Could you or any of the members of the African Union team that you were there with advising, could you do anything to help the civilians or could you only just watch?
We could only just watch and write reports until we were able to bring in protection force. We have put those protection force in certain places to protect the monitors on the ground and as a result have been able to protect civilians. That's one of the things I think needs to happen is an expanded mandate for the African Union to specifically say that their job is to secure the roads for humanitarian aid access and to protect civilians both in the villages and the IDP camps. That is not an explicit job that they have right now.
This area of Sudan, Darfur, is a huge region. It's the size of France. Can an outside military force track down these Janjaweed, these militias, over that size of an area and keep the peace there?
I believe that, yes, they can, but not with 3,000 or 4,000 troops is what's proposed. That's insufficient. It needs to be 25 to 50,000, and they need much more support. They need more vehicles. They need more air assets. They need logistics and communication supports from the EU and the United States and the whole Western world. That's what it's going to take in order to stop the genocide in Darfur.
The UN has declined to call it officially genocide. What makes you think that is exactly what it is?
I know what I've seen on the ground, and that's what I believe it to be. But one of the most important points that I want to make is that it's not important what word we associate with this. What's happening there on the ground is the killing and the displacement of innocent women and children, and that's wrong, and it's got to stop.
Former Marine Captain Brian Steidel was a U.S. military advisor to the African Union military team monitoring Darfur.